given thanks, and I think all of us are grateful, and I think all of us are thankful. But I think Thanksgiving, it kind of brings it to that point of reminding us that really we're not as thankful or grateful as maybe we need to be. When I read this statement yesterday, it kind of rattled me a little bit, because the statement simply said this: what if you awoke tomorrow morning with just the things that you were thankful for today? Let me say that again. What if you woke up in the morning with only the things that you thanked God for today? Wow. Wow. Sitting there yesterday with my dad, I thought about health. I thought about our physical person, not just food and raiment and things of that nature, but I thought about the physical person that we are, and being able to have our faculties and our facilities, if you will, being able to see, being able to hear, being able to get up and walk and be able to move around. A lot of times we are not as thankful in those things as maybe we could be. So today I was reading and I came across a Bible event found in the book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. And this particular reading that I was reading was one that I felt like that the Lord wanted me to talk about today. There's not a person in this room, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, some people's situations may be different than others, but there's not a person in this room that's not had a bad day. Amen? If you've never had a bad day, God bless you. Meet me in my office after church this morning and tell me your secret. But here's the thing. How to be thankful unto God in good and bad times. It's going to happen, ain't it, Brother Al? Brother Al just buried his wife a couple of weeks ago. And I know today his heart's still tender. We had 1 week here at the church through connections and through situations. I done 4 funerals in a week. And I've often told people, just hang in there. Smile. It's going to get better. And it will. But yet in the moments like that, and again, like I've already told you, my story might be a little different today. And I told Sherry, coming to church or come home yesterday, I don't do good with my emotions. I'll just tell you that right now. I may cry a little bit, and I may grin a little bit and laugh a little bit. And so these emotions are pretty high in me this morning just because of the week that I've had. So I was thinking about people that are here this morning, that how I've tried to encourage you to be thankful, even in good days and bad days. And you know what? I've encouraged myself. If I bore you today, I apologize before I even bore you. But somebody, my sister was sitting beside my dad the other day, and we've had a good week. We had family time and talk time. So my sister, who is Beth, who's been here, that was baptized in that baptistry back there, you just have to know the whole story. She said, "Daddy, what did you write in your Bible?" And he said, "Yeah, I remember." He couldn't really tell her what he wrote, but he remembered. And she said, "What happened to you on September the 23rd? Do you remember?" "Yeah." And he said something like, "The Lord," you know, just made it simple. And I said, "Yeah." And Beth didn't know the whole story. She didn't know what I knew about that. She might be listening. I doubt it, but she might be. She's busy. But I was sitting there yesterday when that story came about, and I didn't put too much into that story. And then I was asked this morning by someone that came by earlier and dropped something off here at the church, "Is your dad saved?" And I said, "Oh, yeah. I remember very well September the 23rd, 2006. I remember the phone call I got the next day from my mom. Said, "Hey, your daddy wants to talk to you." That's my mama's tone. "Your daddy wants to talk to you." Okay. My dad on the other end, I wasn't planning on getting into all this. Just bear with me today. Be patient with me. So my dad got on the phone, Robert, and this is my dad's tone. He said, "Well, I finally did it. I finally did it." And I said, "What'd you do?" "I was driving down 485 near Charlotte, going to a class at Lee University, Charlotte. I finally did it." I said, "What'd you do?" And he said, "I asked Christ into my life. Driving on 485 around through there." And I said, "Well, tell me about it. How did that happen? Why now?" That's what I said. I said, "Well, why now?" He said, "Well, I just felt like it was time." "I just felt like it was time." And I said, "Well, tell me how it happened." He said, "Well, I was in the bedroom. I was getting ready to go to sleep." He said, "I just felt like it was time." He said, "I just rolled out of the bed and got on my knees beside my bed. And I asked the Lord in my heart." Hey, folks, it don't get no better than that. If he passes away today, hey, it's okay in that respect. It's okay, Nora. You've lost loved ones. We've all lost loved ones. We miss them. But yet we know without a shadow of a doubt where they're going. So yes, in good times and in bad times. And I'm going to save a few more events that happened this week for the appropriate time. Right now is not the time, but I'll share them with you when the Lord lets me. You got to understand something. I moved away 20 years ago and I've not had quality time with my dad. None. Very, very little. So the little bit of time I was able to be there around him this week was good time. And this week I hope is as well. I'll share a few more things with you later. So with that being said, I think I'm settled in for a minute. In the Old Testament, the book of Chronicles is where I've studied from for today. And if my tone is no more than this today, and if I ain't real preachy today, just bear with me. It's Thanksgiving. It's the week of Thanksgiving. So traditionally, your pastor needs to preach a Thanksgiving message. There's a lot of scripture that talks about Thanksgiving all throughout the Bible. But as I came across this event that took place, when you look at this, there was an individual here by the name of Jehoshaphat. He's found there in verse number 3. And the story that was going on behind this was when the children of Israel was there, and as they were gathered together, they heard that something very bad was getting ready to happen. And all of a sudden, there was an anguish that went throughout the camp of Israel when they heard that they were getting ready to be attacked. Nobody likes a spiritual attack, no more than they would like a physical attack. So Jehoshaphat, when he heard about this and all these, the Moabites and the Ammonites was coming down on top of them, something happened in his life here in this situation that they set themselves, and you can see this, against Jehoshaphat in battle. And we can see that there was a great multitude that was coming against them. And as they moved forward against the children of Israel, they were there. And in verse 3, we can see that Jehoshaphat feared and he set himself to seek the Lord. So one of the first things I began to think about was the dynamics of this story and the dynamics of this. So where this man is the king, he's the leader, he's the one that's supposed to lead everybody else into safety or into victory or whatever the case may be. So one of the first things I thought about when this took place was that when he heard this bad news, so many times as a pastor, I have watched people crumble. I've watched people get discouraged. I've watched people get disappointed. I've watched people through my lifetime as a pastor get upset at somebody in the church for some simple misunderstanding. And before you know it, they've walked away from God. They've walked away from the church. They won't answer the phone and et cetera, so forth. So when Jehoshaphat did this, this was really encouraging when I read this, is because he knew that the Ammonites was coming against him, the Moabites was coming against him. He knew that he was going into a great adversity. So the first thing that I thought about as far as Thanksgiving, I thought about that Jehoshaphat knew that he could be thankful for what he had experienced with God in his past. When we find those moments of adversity, one of the things we've got to remember, the faithfulness of God in our past. Has God ever done anything for anybody in the room? Has God been faithful? The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God was faithful to Israel when he pulled them and drew them away from Pharaoh's army and all the, you can go back and read this in the book of Exodus, when they led them out there and they led them across the Red Sea, they what looked like was their demise and their destruction. Actually, I'll get into some stuff either later in the message or this evening, where that there is a psalm that is written. There's actually several psalms that are written that actually talks about the horse and the rider that's cast into the sea. How that God wrought a great victory. So Jehoshaphat, the first thing he did is he set himself to seek the Lord. So in moments that all of us are facing and have faced, what do we do? Either we become discouraged or we become dismayed, as the King James uses that language so many times, where he tells them to be not dismayed, but be of good courage. So Jehoshaphat knew that he had to lead his people to seek God. And then we'll walk our way through this. So we see this as we begin to look at this thing about Jehoshaphat. He set himself to seek the Lord. You can see that in verse number 3. We look at the meaning of gratitude. We look at the meaning of thankfulness today. Gratefulness today. We were going to sing a song. We couldn't find the sheet music for it. And the song talks about give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. And as we think about that today, we think about everything. In everything, we need to give thanks. And a lot of times we look at the life, we look at life through a lens of gratitude, if you will. Life takes on a whole new meaning. You and I, and again, this is something that I probably need to practice as much as everybody else. But we need to look at life through a heart that is filled with gratitude. Too often in our lives, we come across individuals and we know people that whose all their lives are always filled with a negative outlook. And it's always filled with looking at the negative side of life. They never take a positive look. And they never look at life in a positive light, if you will. They always go through life with a woe is me mentality or a victim mentality. The German pastor, his name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I think Brother Scott's mentioned him. He actually, years ago when I was reading about him, he is actually an individual that started Sunday school and got Sunday school started in the churches in Germany years ago. I believe it was Germany. But in this, he says these words. He says that it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. It is only with gratitude that we can see life through a different set of lenses. And actually, if I had a glass of water up here today, some would even say that the glass was half empty. And it would take on a feeling of woe and a feeling of defeat or a feeling of of despair or a feeling that would leave us in a sense of hopelessness and helplessness. When I looked at Jehoshaphat, when I began to read through this, I began to see that he'd done the right thing and he set his life to seek God. He did not look at the glass half empty. He looked at the glass half full, if you will, knowing, hey, little is much when God is in it. Amen. And so we look at life today because we look at life as a way of looking at God through a positive, if you will, and we see the power of God, not the negative forces that always come against us. We think about one writer. His name is John Hagee. Some of you know his name. John Hagee says, an attitude of gratitude is the key of releasing the supernatural power of God. A lot of times I've thought about this in my own life. Depends on how you get out of bed in the morning. Really, it does. I'm perky of the mornings most of the time. But a lot of times we hear people get out of bed, and it's all in the tone and the way I say this. A lot of times people will get up and say, good Lord, it's morning. You know what I mean? Good Lord, it's morning. You know, or you could say, good Lord, it's morning. Or good morning, Lord, you know, either way. So when I thought about this, it's a mannerism of being able to reflect upon the positive rather than the negative. This week, as we go through this particular time of Thanksgiving, even at times it's very difficult. We look at this king again. We look at Jehoshaphat. In the commentary that I was reading out of, it actually said this: what will you do during difficult times? This is a good king who just received terrible news. Three armies was coming against the children of Israel. They were coming against Jehoshaphat. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites was coming against them. Verse number 2, it picks up there and it says that there was a great big large multitude that was coming to fight against the children of Israel, and they had them blocked in, if you will. Again, when we look at life, and we look at life that all of us are living together, we think about what do we do in life when it seems like that all the odds are against you? What do you do when it seems like that life is not in your favor? We've all been there. As I've already stated, first of all, he set himself to seek the Lord. What do you do when you don't know what to do? The Bible, Brother Bobby taught me this verse. He said it's what he does every day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So he put this into practice that when you have a thankful heart, you will seek God first. Number 2, we can see what he done. He called the people together. Not only did he recognize and realize that there was a power in unity, he recognized that he needed to celebrate what God was going to do with other people. That's a good thing. The people reflected. They reflected again. He called the people together to fast and to pray. And then when that comes together, we see that in verse number 6. We see that when they were there, it said, and the Bible says, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? My blessed Jesus, I thought about that. I thought about how that they reflected when you got a thankful heart, although the negative can be around you, that in this verse he led the people to celebrate what God has done in this verse. I like that latter part. So that none is able to withstand thee. The victory, my friend, was already won according to Jehoshaphat and according to the reflection up on his own heart when he began to seek God. The other thing here is simply this. He reflected upon God's faithfulness. A grateful heart, we see God's faithfulness. And again, he saw that God's ability was more than those that was against him. Again, the people knew without God's help, they would surely not be able to prevail. I guess I could put a a period there with an whatever that thing's called. Explanation, the mark. What's it called? Exclamation. Yeah, that one right there. That's it. You know, the comedy girl that time, she'd go, you know. I told y'all have to bear with me today. It's an expression mark. No, that isn't what it's called. Explanation mark. Oh, my goodness. But in this heat, I forgot what I come down here to say. Thank you. Coming on. But he reflected upon God's faithfulness. And then he knew, people knew without God, that God's help, they would not prevail. That's what brought me to that point. Is without God's help today, none of us will prevail. None of us will prevail. So that was his prayer and that was his reflection. That's exactly what Jehoshaphat was thinking. He set himself to seek God and he called together all of Judah. And he asked the Lord for his help. And then his prayer was simply this. We see this in verse number 7 when you begin to look at it. And he said, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And he said, and they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake. In other words, what he was saying is that God has not brought you this far to leave you now. When you begin to look upon this, and we can see again as his prayer and as his reflection was upon God, and he said, they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy namesake. Verse number 9, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, and pestilence or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. And this is where the whole thing about thankfulness came together with this little message. The whole thing came is because we see here again that where Jehoshaphat, he bowed himself to the earth. He was grateful for what God was doing. He reflected upon the past of what God had done. But yet this latter verse, he says, then thou will hear and help. Amen. And I believe that today with everything within me, that God still hears our prayer. The Bible says that God's ear is ever open to the prayer. We see this again in the scripture where the people reflected upon this. And then we can see in verse number 14, we see that where Jehaziel was there, the son of Zechariah, Benaiah, we see that family lineage there. And at that moment when they were standing there, and all those that was gathered together, the Bible says that when they were grateful, when they did not allow fear to dominate them, when they reflected upon the goodness of God, and when they saw the goodness of God, when they knew God's ability and they celebrated God's ability, look what happened here in this verse of Scripture when Jehaziel was here. And it says in this next verse, in this latter part, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came the Spirit of the Lord into the midst of the congregation. And I want to just say this, that I know without a shadow of a doubt, when the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost shows up, somebody says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fret. The Moabites are going to always be the Moabites and the Ammonites and all them other ites that keep aggravating you and me and coming up against us, and that tormenting spirit that's come up against you, and that tormenting spirit that's always there to hinder. Hey, the Bible says that you and I, we can tell the devil to get thee behind me, Satan, as Jesus did. And the Bible said he will leave. He will flee. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them. We see that in verse number 14. And then he began to prophesy and he began to speak the Word of God. And this is where we again see the open display of Jehoshaphat in his gratefulness to God, his celebration of God. I heard one man say years ago, he said, God comes where he is celebrated and not tolerated. Come on, somebody. God comes where he's celebrated. You want the Spirit of God to come into the church house? Don't leave it to the preacher to do it. Come on, somebody. Don't leave it to your neighbor to do it. Your neighbor can only do so much for you. I can only do so much for you. Oh, but the Bible said to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and praise ye the Lord. Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. When we celebrate what God is doing, when we celebrate who God is, my friend, God will show up. And as the young people used to say, when God shows up, He shows out. Amen. Everybody's going to know that God is in the house. Look at this assurance. When they thank God, when Jehoshaphat thanked the Lord and glorified God and magnified God, when Jehaziel spoke and he began to prophesy, if you will, it gave the people the confidence. It gave the people the confidence that they knew, as that old song says, Nora, that I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Amen. And every bit of this comes out of a grateful heart and a thankful heart. Well, the devil's been bothering me all day, preacher. I just can't get away from him. You know, I've talked to people like that. And he does do that, Dixie. He does. He will torment the living daylights out of you. But you don't have to give place to the devil. I told somebody, and I preached this last week, I told somebody the other day. I said, the Bible says neither give place to the devil. Don't let the devil... Somebody said, the devil been riding my back all week long. Well, take the saddle off your back. Quit giving him a place to lodge. Quit giving him a place to dwell. The Bible again reminds us to gird up the loins of your mind. Think the way Jesus thinks. Somebody said, well, preacher, you ain't been where I've been. No, my friend, I've not been where you've been. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to open the door to my house or the door to my heart to the devil. I don't care what I'm going through. Come on, somebody. Hello? I don't care what I'm going through. Hey, I'm a child of God and you're a child of God. I'm not going to turn any rights over to the devil. Come on, somebody. So we see that Jehaziel began to prophesy, began to preach, and began to tell them. The Spirit of God came upon him. And look at how this whole thing changed their demeanor here. First of all, we see that the Spirit of God came upon him. They face their fears with their faith. And in this, we can see that how that he opens this up in verse number 15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou king of Jehoshaphat, thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. I like this word. I like this. Don't be scared. It's not really what it says. But don't be scared. I heard a preacher friend always said that years ago. Don't be scared. Go around all the time. Don't be scared. Scared. That's a mountain word. Scared. That's down here. It might be scared. But he'd always walk around. Don't be scared. Sherry knows who he is. Don't be scared. That's what he said. He said, thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Maybe I'm talking directly to somebody this morning as I feel like I am in my own heart today. Maybe you're walking in fear. Maybe you're worried about failure. Maybe you're walking around this morning feeling like you're a nobody in a somebody's world. We've all dealt with inferiority. I don't care who you are, sometime in your life. But my friend, we've got to be able to understand. I had a whole lot rather please God than please man. Come on, somebody. But see, the thing he told them not to be afraid of was the promise. The promise that God said, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor filled with confusion. You ever seen such a confused world that we're living in today? It's everywhere you go. I don't know what COVID did to people's psyche. Come on, somebody. But it absolutely messed up people's brains. Hello? I wish I had about an hour to park the bus right there. And I want to tell you something. God's the same now as He was before COVID. March the 15th of 2020. He's the same. You say, well, are you downplaying it? No, I'm not downplaying it. People's been sick with it and people died with it. And my heart goes out, my God, in a whole new way. I'm not trying to downplay that. God, help me to not sound that way today. But I'm trying to tell you that we don't have to be afraid when we're a child of God, that God is on our side. He said, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. And I love this when I read it yesterday. He said, for the battle is not yours. Who am I talking to today? Battle's not yours. Battle's not mine. Lord, Sherry knows. She knows. She knows me better than anybody. She sees my good days and bad days and aggravating days and when I aggravate her to death. For the most part, I'm pretty good most of the time. He said, the battle's not yours. And most of you around this church, you know me well enough to know for years, and I still am as a pastor a lot, but Brother Robert, I thought it was my job to fix everybody. I planted a church in 1990. That was before some of these younger generation was even born. I planted a church, Brother West, in 1990. My kids were little. They were small. And when I planted this church, in all reality, in my brain as a pastor, planting a church in a city that I grew up nearby, Barney, I thought it was my mission, my personal mission to win Haywood County. I did. I owned that mission. I took that weight, that burden on me. And Don, I about drove myself crazy. And then I went to where I went, and then I'm here. And we went through a whole lot of things since then. But you know what? In all reality, Nora, I finally, about 7 or 8 months ago, I can't fix it. I can't fix, but God can. I personally had to somehow or another reset my brain, and knowing you're a pastor, you're responsible, but you can't fix it. If you could fix it, you'd be Jesus. And you know, Miss Reva, there was a peace come over me that I had never experienced. I still hurt for people. I still grieve for people. I still deal with a whole lot of stuff from time to time. But I'm going to tell you something. God's got to fix it. And no matter who you are in this room right now, if you've got a bag full of baggage and you're wishing that a whole lot of things would be a whole lot different, and you wish that Pastor Green would preach a different message because you'd like for him to fix this or fix that, I can't fix nothing. Hello? John the Baptist was a forerunner, right, Robert? He was a forerunner. The 12 that Jesus sent out two by two, they were forerunners of Jesus, where Jesus would come. This ain't in my notes. This is free. They were sent out two by two to where Jesus was coming. John the Baptist's message was, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Amen. Today, Brother Harden, I'm just a forerunner. I'm just an ambassador. I'm just one to tell you, you need to be looking to Jesus. Hebrews even says that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look to Jesus. Look at this. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. If God be for me, then who can be against me? Romans 8 says that. And he mentions all these things as you begin to look in the book of Romans, and he mentions all the things that Paul breaks it down, persecutions and despair, all these things that Paul mentioned. But Paul comes back and he says, yea, and all of these things, we are more than a conqueror. So you and I today, when we exhibit a heart of thankfulness, that we understand that if God is going in front of us and that God heard their prayer and their prayer was to God, then God exhibited His unfailing love to them. We see that in the Word. This Word, again, comes as they were magnifying God and glorifying God. We can see that it was a Word that came, and with that Word that came through the preacher here, through, again, as the Spirit of God came upon him, We can see how that Jehaziel, if you will, said this, that God gave them assurance. And that assurance produced a heart of gratitude. And then they overcame, again, when you look at this throughout the scripture, walking down through this, verse number 16. When I read verse number 16, I kind of hiccuped there for a minute. And the reason that I thought that is when I read that, I thought, tomorrow go ye down against them. Now tomorrow, think about it. You've got a heart of gratitude for what God has already done, what God's already said. The priest and the king, Jehoshaphat, and then Jehaziel, they came forth and they spoke the word that God is with you. But then he says, tomorrow, go. Tomorrow, think about that. You've got to confront tomorrow the very thing that you know had the ability to kill you. Hello? And I thought about that as I was sitting there yesterday studying with my dad. I was thinking about this right here. Go tomorrow against them. In other words, I heard Jensen Franklin say this one time. You will never be able to conquer what you will not confront. You'll never be able to conquer what you will not or you're not willing to confront. And then God sent them to go against their very enemies. We see that in the scripture, verses 16, and it says again, that tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. I guess that's how you say that, Ziz. And you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeuel. And then he says in 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Wow! Show up. The enemy's there. Just show up. Let the enemy see you that you are trusting in God. I almost said that scared word again, that you wasn't scared. I'm just messing with you. And he said here in the word, he said that you're going to go and you're going to confront. Show up. And then when you see this, he said, you shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourself. I love this. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Can I tell you another story? True story? This is a true story. I knew nothing about Thomasville Church of God. Knew nothing. Didn't even know if there'd be such thing as a Thomasville Church of God, Robert. As much as I've been in the Church of God. Didn't know a thing about you guys. You didn't know nothing about me. So as things began to develop 12 years ago and I was in the candidacy to come and try out here. You know how we were back years ago, get real nervous about everything. And this verse of scripture, I got it written in my Bible. I got TV on, then I got the date on it, September 12th. I remember when I was still at the other place praying in the altar. And I could show you is on that side of the church where I was praying by myself. Brother Russell, the Lord gave me that verse right there, said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And at that time, all my fear, all my anxiety, you say, preachers get anxiety? What planet do you live on? All my fears and all my anxieties that I had been carrying about this just subsided. When we go with God, Nora, you can come and give me some stopping music. When we go with God and we're thankful to God, God will take care of it. When you begin to look at the rest of this whole story, and it says, you shall not fight. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he says here, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. For the Lord will be with you. And you can read the rest of that. And it says here again that we're, again, Jehoshaphat sent out singers, and God sent the singers out. And again, when you read the rest of this, they wrought a great victory. So much spoil was there when the enemy didn't turn against Israel. The enemy destroyed themselves. You can read that all the way down through there. The Moabites turned on the Ammonites and the other ones that was there, the three that came against them. And then at the end of that, the scripture said that not one of the enemies of Judah was left alive. And the rest of it is that Judah went and they picked up all the spoils, 3 days of the spoils that was left behind. All the gold and all the treasures and everything that was there. Don't you just love it when God turns it around? God turns it around and God gives you breakthrough. Even though it seems like that life is not too good. Now, I mentioned my dad when I started. And I said that to say this. That I know that he's probably, by nature, Brother Robert, not going to be with us a long, long time. I understand that. But yet the end of the story is that God will wrought a great victory through him because of September the 23rd, 2006. So y'all just encourage one another. Be grateful unto God. Be thankful unto him. And let's do this thing together called church. Amen. One more thing really quick. If you had everything tomorrow that you thank God for today, what would your tomorrow look like? What would your tomorrow look like if we really thank God? Again, we're going to get into some other stuff tonight, another Thanksgiving thought for this evening. But I want you to stand with me today. And I want us, if somehow or another, we can just take just a few minutes and give God some thanks in this room. Just think about your life. Think about everything that God has brought you through. Think about the many times that God has wrought miracles and situations where you didn't know what you was going to do. And then God showed up. And when God showed up, God done things in your life that only God could do. Marriages, children, families. Amen. Even things in this room that God's done for the people that's here. Let's thank him for it. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful and we're grateful for your goodness. I thank you, Heavenly Father God, for all your benefits, God, that you said in your word, God, that you've loaded us down with benefits. And God, you've given unto us when, God, we didn't even deserve it. But God, because of your gracious kindness, because of your great love, Father, Lord, you've just shown your goodness upon us. So, Father, even though it seems like the enemy's always present, God, we're just going to thank you. We're just going to praise you. We're just going to glorify you in spite of everything that the enemy is trying to do. God, we give you praise for it. We give you glory for it. We give you honor for it. And God, we thank you for it. Now just take that hand and raise it and thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his mercy today. Thank you for his blessings upon us, God. Lord, we thank you for your blessings over our families, God. I thank you, Father God, for your touch. I thank you, Heavenly Father God, for the miracles that you've done in families even to this point. And God, we're grateful. We glorify you and we magnify you. And we give you all the praise for everything that's done. In Christ's name we pray. Now, before we go, I want to say something.